It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
You need to have an awareness that I think if that did happen, we're all buying Solanke.
The Fantasy Football Show.
And a real welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Such.
And my name is James.
Go on, how was your week?
Good.
Do what we do every week.
Good.
How many points did you score?
141.
Not bad, eh?
For a single game week, one transfer made. Yeah, I'll take that. Really, really good week. I moved Dunk to Haaland on Monday night after Dunk's 12-pointer at the weekend. Gross is 13, Van Hex 5. From the City guys Monday night, Captain Haaland. Rodri 7, De Bruyne 10, Foden's 26, Captain Watkins Saturday for 36, Captain Palmer Sunday for 16. Those were the two right choices as well. So certainly wouldn't regret sticking the armband on Haaland. If you told me he was going to play circa 85 minutes, that's a no-brainer from that stage. So it was only really for me Van Dijk and Saliba Sunday, but not unexpected that there was nothing between. I mean, Van Dijk got a Parsons here, but it's only a three-pointer. And Areola blank, obviously, on the Sunday as well, which went off the back of Captain Areola last Thursday as well, because that was all I had. And I'd brought De Bruyne in last Wednesday.
Yep.
And captained him, brought him in for his magic, you know, Elijah Adebayo. So, yeah, really strong week. Up to 198th now, actually. I'm just 100 short of second.
What, you 24 transfers left?
25. So I feel like in the strongest position, I think that's probably kind of circa average-ish.
Yep.
At the moment, 25. There'll definitely be people with more, no doubt about that. There'll be people with less as well. The guy who's top is 40 points clear. We know that he's
from
only...
From second as opposed to from
we
you.
We know that he's only got Rodri and Haaland because his team was open a little while ago. I don't know how many transfers got left. That's obviously a big lead that the leader's got at the moment. Again, don't know how many transfers got left, but you're saying just under 100 short of second in contention potentially all of a sudden. And what's really done it for me is the captain choices haven't been bad recently, but it's them two holes from two players that I wasn't even certain that I wanted to get in Adebayo and obviously Foden.
Yep.
On Monday night.
It's how quickly this game can change.
It's them rather than the captaincy.
It feels like inches, but that almost halving your rank over since overhaul is quite big, to be honest with you. I had 120 points this week. I think the difference between us was Brighton versus, obviously, I had Van Dijk, Romero and Jota ended up being flops for me this week, which was a bit of a shame. And Ivan Toney didn't return at the weekend. I sold Watkins for De Bruyne on Monday night. I'd done the same move in selling Saliba for... Watkins for Haaland. I sold Saliba for De Bruyne last week. So the four City were game changers, really, on Monday night.
You got the same
night.
Four City as me.
Rodri, Foden, De Bruyne, Haaland. Obviously, armbanded Haaland. Same obviously, captains as you,
obviously
mate.
Obviously, for us as well, City conceding's
good.
Handy, yeah.
I armbanded Watkins, I armbanded Palmer, I armbanded Haaland, same as everybody. But I went, I'm up inside the top 4K now, so 3972. So I want to, that first step for me is to get a three-figure rank, get inside the top 1,000. then we kind of move from there. I'm a little bit kind of don't know who to sell now because obviously Van Dijk, Rodri, Foden, Jota, De Bruyne, Haaland all have an extra fixture because of the FPL double game week. So I'm not selling them before they've had those two games. I need Palmer for captaincy on Monday. And Areola's just kind of sitting there as a set and forget. So I may move Tony on, you know, on Sunday back to Ollie Watkins.
He's got an extra fixture as well, and that's a legit.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, in terms of the Liverpool extra fixture, just to clarify, obviously that's been announced now for Wednesday 21st. Yes, the Premier League took their time about it. So Liverpool play Luton that night, 7:30 kickoff, same as the City-Brentford game the night before. But Liverpool-Luton isn't, in essence, an extra fixture, right? It's just
no,
a game.
No, it's just brought forward. But in terms of timing of when you sell a player and when you buy a player.
Yeah, of course. But the best way to think about it, I think Ian Parran put it right. He was trying to clarify something I said because I didn't explain myself very well last week. He explained it a lot better when he put it in terms was, just think of it like this. Liverpool-Luton essentially is not an extra fixture. Just think of it as a Friday night game. Just think of it as a game that's been brought forward to the Friday night TV coverage. In terms of your plan, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. There's no blank for Liverpool. It's not an extra fixture. It's basically a Friday night game that just so happens to be on a Wednesday. So that makes obviously investing really difficult. We'll talk about obviously March TV announcements. But in terms of Liverpool, in terms of getting new now, from that perspective, if you think of the Luton game as like a Friday night, they always go first. So it's difficult to add extra. So, I mean, my strategy at the moment would probably be Mo's going to be back soon-ish.
Yep.
But if he is back, it might just be a case I'm going to go, right, I'm going to take it on and not go there.
I don't know how I go there.
Well, I've got exact money to go from Foden to Salah if I deem that a necessity.
But again, I mean, they've got so many fixtures. They've got four versus Liverpool's three. It's then and so it's just a case of, are you gambling on Salah for Luton at home? And well, it won't be Burnley at home, but are you gambling that he's going to go big? We've just seen what Foden can do. So I don't know where I come off any of my players right now. Areola, I'm not coming off him anyway. Even Romero, if I come off Romero after the Wolves game, that's fine, but I have to go to another defender because I'm in a 3-5-2 right now. I can come off Cole Palmer after the Man City game on the Saturday.
Yeah, I think a lot will do that, by the way.
The way
the fixtures have landed now.
Yeah, I think there's a big gap, and obviously with the blank, let's say. So Cole Palmer is expendable after the Man City game, potentially for me. The Liverpool and Man City guys are not expendable at all until we're talking, and at least after the Brentford game for City and the Luton game for Liverpool. But even then, I'm not losing my City guys, Bournemouth, Man United thereafter. Liverpool, you can't make a case for, because Nottingham Forest afterwards as well.
Yeah, but that's the point. There's no kind of entry point for Liverpool. That's probably the exit point, is Forest away, because then it's Man City next, and then it's probably a blank, and then now we know it'll be Brighton on the Sunday as well, and you come back from there.
Van Heck stays, because I'm captaining him on Sunday the 18th, as it stands right now. So I've got two players that I can sell.
Yeah?
I can sell Ivan Toney, and I can sell Romero.
So here's the
and
big,
Palmer, sorry.
Here's the big question that people want to know if they were listening closely. You sold Saliba last week.
Yeah.
You sold Watkins this week.
Yep.
Who are you captaining Sunday?
Areola, as it stands.
You're just going to go with that?
I did say I'm happy to sell Toney after the Wolves game. It's Liverpool and City. If I think captaining Watkins versus Man United at home, and I wasn't overly impressed with Man United at the weekend, he'll have chances against them, and it's a home fixture, and they were good. I think the upside of captaining Ollie Watkins for Man United at home with a captaincy plus Fulham will be bigger than Liverpool and City for Toney. And then you've got Nottingham Forest as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, adding the one more makes it sound better.
A lot better. It's a 3-for-2 where Toney's got Liverpool and City. So, yeah, I think it may be a case that I'm going to do it because it's one transfer and then I'm happy to hold Ollie Watkins, right? The reason I came off him was to give me double captaincy for Haaland.
There is a little less case for Toney now that the March TV fixtures have been confirmed. I mean, you certainly could captain him on the single game day. We now know it won't be a single game day against Burnley on March the 16th. That feels a really long way away at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
But there's no, other than the West Ham game Monday the 26th, that's when you'd go back if you want to go there. There isn't another entry point after that. The Burnley game's another three, and you've got to negotiate Chelsea and Arsenal before that as well.
Yeah. I'm happy to come off Cole Palmer as a consideration as well. I don't need him particularly for any captaincies.
You mean obviously after this
coming after Man City.
Yeah.
After Man City. So on the Sunday or the Monday or the Tuesday, like wherever I decide
that
I want to go.
Cole Palmer one, now if you look between the Manchester City game on February the 17th, we now know the Newcastle game will be a single game day on Monday the 11th. So in between that period, which is, what is that, over 3 weeks, isn't it? Chelsea play once away to Brentford, and you've got, for comparison, teams that are going to play four games in between.
I think
you've even got a couple that have...
I've got no Palace-Everton coverage. So even just picking up an Everton player and captaining him on the Monday and holding him through for that Brighton, West Ham, Man United run is well worth it over Cole Palmer. So it may be a case that will be my option into a Palace or Everton player.
Palace really don't appeal right now.
No, it'll be Everton.
Probably would be Everton.
It would be Everton, but I won't rule anything off the table at the moment.
Yeah, should we do these TV announcements for March, because that's given us a really good picture for a serious amount of time now. As a reminder, obviously Villa Chelsea play an FA Cup fourth round replay tonight. That will give us clarity on one extra fixture for the match week 29 FA Cup quarter final weekend. So if Villa lose, we know West Ham and Arsenal will be on Sunday the 17th of March. If Chelsea win, we know Villa's on. If Villa win, then we know Chelsea's trip to Arsenal the day before Saturday the 16th is on. As said,
give us I suppose we've got Europa, but Burnley again on a Sunday, great. Villa again on a Sunday, probably great.
Well, anyone that's in Europa's competitions is going to have predominantly Sundays going forward. The good of that is obviously you can go and invest in these four teams at kind of pretty much any point once you get beyond sort of match week 27. So the Europa competitions for the four clubs involved in them restart midweek, commencing Monday the 4th of March. So it's Europa, match week 28, Europa, then that FA Cup quarterfinal weekend. The March TV fixtures, we knew the first weekend. We've now got the rest, which includes the first weekend after the international break, which I wasn't sure that we were going to get on this occasion. I think probably the big message that comes out is no shocks, particularly. Probably the headline news is that probably that single game day, Chelsea versus Newcastle, on Monday the 11th. So Saturday the 9th, we knew it was highly likely that Arsenal were going to play that weekend. Home to Brentford is obviously now going to be a 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Obviously, they've got the single game day with Sheffield United on the Monday before, so that'll be easy enough to go into, even if you don't have any Arsenal coverage at that point. And I would suggest they probably are the best captaincy on that day, Saturday the 9th. Sunday the 10th, we've now got Aston Villa and Tottenham is a 1 p.m. kickoff. That's because the police have asked for Liverpool and Manchester City later that day to kick off no later than 3:45 p.m. There are two other games at 2 p.m. that day. Again, there is a consequence of Europa competition. So Brighton against Nottingham Forest and West Ham against Burnley. I actually think that day's quite open for captaincy. So obviously City-Liverpool playing each other at Anfield.
Yep.
Tottenham at Villa. So, you know, your Watkins, your Richarlison's son. We mentioned this before about we knew that game wouldn't be a Saturday because of Villa's Europa involvement and that being an entry point back to Tottenham. And that certainly obviously proves to be the case. But Brighton at home to Forest and West Ham at home to Burnley, could be that it's one of them for captaincy. Now, the only problem with that is because Villa Tottenham kicks off at 1 o'clock, you might not see the teams unless you've got any leaks for that. And that would probably make you a little bit nervous, I think, particularly about Brighton, knowing that they could rotate for a fixture like Forest after a Europa game on the Thursday before, particularly if it happens to be an away game. So I think that Sunday the 10th is quite open for captaincy. Chelsea-Newcastle single game day, Monday the 11th of March. We've already spoken about that. That big gap now for Cole Palmer from the Man City game, February 17th to Monday, March 11th. Chelsea play once. There are a lot of teams that have four games over that period. I think there might even be one or two who got five. No, maybe not. No, but there's a lot of teams that got four. Even like you said, even something like Everton. So for you that's kind of stuck with this back three model at the moment, something like Palmer to Mykolenko,
yep,
who's decent for tackles and stuff, might not be a terrible move. You could in that case as well, I've already been thinking about this, something like Palmer to Mykolenko, take the Palace home game on Monday the 19th, captaincy, single game day, Brighton away, and then shove it into a Wolves attacker the next day.
They've got Wolves a nice run.
Sheffield United in that single game day. So Cunha, Huang, something like that. And then you can take in Sheffield United at home, Newcastle away, Fulham at home, and then go back for your Chelsea or Newcastle. Interestingly as well, the weekend after the FA Cup quarterfinals, when Chelsea are scheduled to play Arsenal, Chelsea are at home to Burnley on the Saturday. So do think you'll want to go back to him. And with him, if he's got fixtures, he's such an incredible enabler,
yeah,
at 6.5. You will want to go back. But I also think that period is long enough. Certainly when they play Brentford Saturday the 2nd, you've got good captaincy alternatives, Liverpool at Forest, Tottenham at Palace. You might just want to be a little bit cautious if you're selling numerous players around that point. You've also got Watkins at Luton in the 5:30 that day. So there's alternatives. You wouldn't need him. I don't think that would be your primary best captaincy option, Chelsea away to Brentford on Saturday the 2nd. So I think that's a sell. That's a way too big a gap. But you're probably subject to what you've got money-wise. You need to think about that, right? It's easy to sit and say, right, sell. But if you've got nothing in the bank, what are you selling it to? Crap, right? So you're going to need a little bit of money in the bank to make that happen. That's part where thinking about me going, well, I can go Foden to Salah. Yeah, but it kills me that. Then I'm dead for money. Where would I, if I want to move Palmer, where would I? I'd possibly have to take the decision there and go, leaving it. But even that, you could go Palmer to Van Heek the next day. So when Brighton play Sheffield United, that's close in money, isn't it? 0.2 difference. Those sort of moves would be quite popular. On the FA Cup weekend itself, literally no shocks there. Basically, every game stays where it was because the three games that have been moved to the Sunday would have had to move to the Sunday anyway. So Brighton Man City has been selected as the 4:30 p.m. kickoff. Everton against Liverpool, the 2 p.m. kickoff. And obviously, you play Villa, also a 2 p.m. kickoff. Not selected for television coverage, unfortunately. So those there's four teams there that would have had to move to the Sunday because of Europa anyway. So that's exactly as it would have looked on paper anyway. There's obviously a strong possibility that there's no game that day.
Yep.
If West Ham Villa is the Sunday, and it doesn't mean that it's obviously off if Villa win tonight because it could still lose to Leeds in the fifth round. But if it goes on, you'd be looking at West Ham Villa probably will be a single game day.
Yep.
Because it needs Liverpool to lose to Southampton or basically City to lose to Luton and Brighton to lose to Wolves for the others to be on. The Saturday on that day, Arsenal-Chelsea's been picked up for TNT as a 12:30 kickoff. That's important in terms of your reference for later on in the season and potentially which week certain games might go into. So Arsenal-Chelsea, Everton-Liverpool and Brighton-Man City are TV-selected games that are highly likely to be postponed. Those are three strong fixtures that the TV companies are not going to drop. So that will be relevant in terms of where games go, which midweek later in the season. Fulham-Tottenham has been selected as the 5:30 p.m. kickoff that day. And to reference back, that's where I said about the Tony requirement is a little bit less because there was obviously a possibility of Burnley-Brentford land as a single game day. That now cannot happen. Burnley-Brentford and Fulham against Tottenham are two fixtures that will not move on Saturday the 16th. Remember I said there is a clear Tottenham re-entry point on the weekend before. The following weekend, the weekend after the international breaks, match week 30 has also given us no shocks in terms of the TV selections. Liverpool and Brighton on the Sunday at 2 p.m. and Manchester City against Arsenal is the 4:30 p.m. Every other game stays on the Saturday. So I think you've got your choice there between your Haalands, your Salahs, in terms of what you want to captain on that Sunday. On the Saturday the 30th, to come back to the Tottenham narrative of reinvesting, probably Tottenham at home to Luton is probably best. But Cole Palmer at home to Burnley as well. Really good alternative. So there's 8 fixtures on that Saturday. So certainly in terms of covering it off, there should be no issue from that perspective. And of course, because of the 2 games announced for Sunday the 31st, we can have a little understanding of Tuesday the 2nd. And that might be quite awkward. There's 4 games now that we know definitively will not happen that week. What's already left, even if all of them got left on the Tuesday, isn't hugely inspiring. Newcastle against Everton might look best. Manchester United go to Chelsea. Tottenham go to West Ham. So, but it could be, yep, Tottenham again at West Ham under that circumstance. I would imagine the way it's landed, that I would think one of Manchester United versus Chelsea or West Ham v Tottenham will stay on that Tuesday night.
Right.
If it doesn't, Newcastle versus, if it's not one of them two, Newcastle Everton definitely will stay there. At least one of them 3 fixtures will be the Tuesday night. I'm almost certain of that. So there's going to be a big team playing on the Tuesday. You remember in that December set, we was worried for a while they might just stitch it up and it'd be like Wolves v Burnley. That circumstance with the way the fixtures have been announced the weekend before isn't going to happen. So I don't think there's anything in their March TV fixtures that's overly concerning, you know, like a Burnley-Brentford suddenly landed on a Friday night. It's not. There's nothing in there that's come hugely unexpected. And actually, once obviously we know who's through in European competitions before that FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, it's going to give us some pretty decent indications in terms of the April fixtures as well. Then obviously the quarterfinals happen and that gives us even further. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be huge alarm actually for this forthcoming period. Probably ones now, like we've mentioned it a couple of times, I think Everton has really come into people's thinking a little bit in terms of manoeuvring things, primarily because Palace obviously have the 2 single game days against Chelsea this coming Monday and then Everton the Monday after. Now, I think majority of us will be pretty happy with Cole Palmer captaincy Monday night, so nothing needed there. But I think my thought process had very much been, right, we'll get Palace as an additional coverage for that, take the Everton game as captaincy, then it's Burnley at home, move it on to Wolves. Now, the thinking would have been, right, go and punt Elise or Eze. Elise, we almost definitely know, isn't going to be available for any of this. It might be the same for Eze. And you'd possibly add in Mark Gay to that now as well. Now, suddenly, that just makes Palace blunt. And I tell you what, as well, if you look at Everton's fixtures longer term, it's not a good run. There's only one fixture that stands out there as green to me, and it's that. It's the Palace home game. It's a game that Everton have got to win, really. So, yeah, I think something Everton that night would potentially appeal, even if it's something punty like Harrison, McNeil, if Decore's back, or like I said, Mikalenko, even one of the 2 centre-backs, Tarkowski or Branthwaite, probably isn't going to be passing tier as part of it. But just to punt something for a couple looks better than getting anything Palace at this minute.
Yeah, agree with you on that.
And I think it's probably not a skip because of the chain movements. Moving things like Palmer suggests that probably, yeah, do get something rather than skip it, I think. And it will look like Everton, I think.
It is kind of time to make a few transfers.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Before we talk about transfers, just briefly, captaincy, I mean, Haaland.
Yes.
We'll see the team.
Yes, yes.
If it's not Haaland, it's De Bruyne. It's not De Bruyne, it's Foden. Like, one of them's going to be in the
Rodri.
Team.
Rodri.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
So everyone's going to see it. It's the early kickoff. You know they're in the team. You go with it. Haaland will play, though.
Yes, but I think there'll be a few we'll go with a Liverpool player.
Yep.
There's a little bit more of a gamble in that, but you look at someone like Jota, for example, and I find it difficult to think he wouldn't start this weekend. Even for people who got Darwin Nunes, I think the same, actually. Bit more punty. You won't see the team. There's every chance you'll get some leaks going around social media. That's the better fixture, isn't it? It's the Liverpool. So, you know, if people want to punt Jota, Nunes, even Van Dijk or Trent, if people have got, I don't hate that as an alternative. Like, I don't think it's not got to be City, but yeah. Haaland, 70% of the top 1,000 bought him back on Monday. he was in 17% already.
So 87.
So up to 87. That tells me, honestly, that the remaining 13%, I think, are either dead in the top 1,000 or haven't got many transfers left, or they missed the deadline or something. Because it was so obvious to go back to him there. It wasn't.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few.
There wasn't any
5 to 10
to.
Or 20 that'll swing against for a little bit longer, but let's see.
With the extra fixtures as well, I don't think so. There's swing against, like we mentioned about maybe swinging against Salah for a bit. That wasn't one to swing against, I don't think. So I don't know if that gives us an indication that, let's say, circa 90% of the top 1,000 are still very active. There might be 10% in there that are running very low, maybe.
What are you doing on Sunday, Watkins?
Yeah, I think so for me.
I think I'll be going back to Watkins as well. I think he's a standout over Arsenal, to be honest with you.
The only thing with that is, obviously, look, we'll see the team of the West Ham-Arsenal game. I have got Saliba, and your team might look meh, and I might think I want to go with it. But I think Martinez is obviously going to be out for United now, we know, for probably at least a month or so. That's probably enough to say, and
go
plus
Watkins.
The ownership. Yeah, I think yeah. Watkins, yeah.
I think with West Ham, actually, the Arsenal game suits us a little bit better in that we know we're just going to have to line up two banks of four and just dig in. Whereas United, we almost matched them 50-50 on possession for large parts, yeah. Which doesn't suit us. Whereas the Arsenal game, you know what you're going to get from West Ham. But we're going to just do a proper Moyes ball and just sit in. So it'll make it more difficult.
Saliba starts on five though, doesn't he?
He does start on five. But United, defensively, Ollie Watkins could be that 20-pointer, I reckon. So I'll be going Watkins as well. And on the Monday, we've talked about it, Cole Palmer.
Everyone and his dog.
Exactly that.
To be honest, yeah.
Cool. In terms of transfers, look, we're getting to that time of the season now where there's, what, 13, 14, 15 league games left for each team. And like you and me, we're in the mid-20s. So you're now talking about 1.5 transfers per game week is what you've got left. I think I can see myself, by the time we get to international break, or at least that week coming after, maybe using 5. But then that moves to 2 a week. So we really are in that territory. Where, and I've been caught with it before where you've hoarded too many transfers and then you're using them to use them and then you're coming off players that you wouldn't necessarily in normal circumstance come off, but because you've got to use your transfers, you're trying to find the advantage, you do. And you end up shooting yourself in the foot by forcing moves that aren't always necessarily the best moves just to use your transfers. So we are getting to that time of the season where make some moves now, right? Like it's okay to start using Everton to daisy chain to a Wolves striker to come on and off Tottenham and so on. I think we need to start thinking about actually making moves rather than hoarding.
So I'm not doing anything this week.
I'm doing Watkins this week. But yeah, I mean, look,
just
this week,
sold
if
him.
If you're set up, yeah, but I've got 4 games out of Haaland for no games. So it was a 4-0.
Over who?
Watkins.
How?
I sold him after he played. I've got 4 games of Haaland.
Okay. But you ain't selling Haaland now, are you? So who's
no,
selling?
No, no, no. Tony.
Okay. You're going to go with the Tony option.
Yeah.
I don't love
Which
selling him.
Which would be a 5-2 if I captain him for United and Forest. But I'll probably captain Haaland for the Bournemouth game.
Yeah, despite the extra fixture for Tony, I don't see any captaincy in there. Like it's definitely not in the must-own territory.
No,
definitely
yeah,
not.
I think it's like make a few moves. Don't get caught and stuck regretting it.
Yeah, interesting one as well in terms of additional fixtures. Like that's pretty locked now up till Sunday the 31st of March. There has been speculation of the Bournemouth-Luton game going in on Wednesday, March the 13th, which is the midweek before the FA Cup quarterfinals. I wouldn't fret about that too much because obviously Bournemouth play at Burnley now on Sunday the 3rd of March. So you could go in, have Burnley away, Sheffield United at home, then the Luton fixture. Obviously the Wolves game could go in FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, but don't be looking for 11s in that weekend. Like if you've got your captaincy covered and you've got 5 or 6 players, probably fine. And then after that, if you look at their fixtures after the FA Cup quarterfinal weekend as well, Everton at home, Palace at home, Luton away, the next few. And the Luton game's probably not one that's going to get moved to like a Monday night or something. So you probably exit point there as well, actually. So, I mean, if that happened, this is the sort of thing you have to factor in the back of your mind. Let's say you end up locked in a position with Haaland, Watkins, and bad example here. Let's say Alvarez, actually. Say you got locked into that position. You need to have an awareness that I think if that did happen, we're all buying Solanke under that circumstance. What, Burnley, Sheffield United, and then single game day against Luton? It's potentially, I mean, it's the three promoted clubs in a row, isn't it?
It is.
With one being a captaincy, and there'll be a gain. So you need to just have a little bit of awareness of that. Otherwise, the fixtures are pretty locked here. There isn't anything that's come out in their March fixtures, by the way, Suj, that is if this happens, then this game moves from 4:30 Sunday to 8 o'clock on a Saturday. There's nothing like that. So it is all pretty locked, but there is speculation, Bournemouth, Luton, as I said, Wednesday, March the 13th. My personal opinion, by the way, as it stands, is that it's a little less likely than likely. But I know there are a lot of people on socials at the moment that think it is more likely than unlikely. But yeah, for me, Serge, it's now about, let's get to Sunday the 18th of February. I've got two Brighton at the moment in Van Heck and Gross, so there's probably not any real requirement for me to do anything there. But I'm at the point, I need to think about Liverpool just having Van Dijk. Am I happy with that? The answer will probably be yes. And then it's a case of probably Everton Palace the Monday and then chaining that into Wolves. And if I hold on to Areola, which I did wobble about it a little bit Monday, Suj. I did wobble a bit.
Did you go Edison?
I thought about it, yeah. And then I realised that I do value my life and my sanity and decided not to do it. But the closer it got, you know what I came to the conclusion of as well? I came to the conclusion on Edison that even if I went there, I wasn't winning. What I meant by that was, yeah, there'd be some out there with one city and that would cover it off a bit, but I knew there'd probably be some out there we're going to steam in and go with a couple, particularly seeing the team line up and stuff as well. I just decided, nope, I was going to go against it. If I hold Areola as well, there's no real requirement for me, West Ham, Brentford. So I don't. It's not impossible, Suj, I could get to, if that extra Solanke fixture doesn't happen, I could end up getting to Monday the 4th when Sheffield United play Arsenal. There'll definitely be moves being made there where I only use two transfers.
Yeah.
And that's over 4 weekends of football, basically. I might not be doing a lot. So I might have gone to the point where I'd probably used more than most people. I might be coming out the other side with having more, maybe, I think. There's a possibility. Yeah.
There's no right?
Once,
no right or wrong. Yeah.
Well, information's obviously important as well. Once we get towards that weekend, say Sheffield United, Arsenal's the Monday night football, the midweek before is the FA Cup fifth round games. So at that point, I've got my real clear picture of that match week 29, the FA Cup quarterfinals. And from there, we'll be able to see more things like the Palmer one that's opened up where he's only got the one fixture and there's a lot of other teams have got four. There'll be more like that will open up at that stage to look at.
Cool. Do you want to cover off the tier points, James, for the games at the weekend? Obviously Monday included as well. We've had a few questions on the internet that we'll cover off as well.
And a few points on last midweek's fixtures just to cover off as well. I think particular relevance here in terms of Tottenham against Brentford last week. So Tottenham obviously had a lot of the ball, but a lot of it in advanced positions. So Romero, 68 passes, I think it's pretty disappointing. Van de Ven, 54. Udogi, 65. Pedro Porro was one off, 59 passes, 3 tackles, 1. He's in, he was at the time of that game, 36% of the top 1,000. So Vicario's really well owned at the moment. He's in about a quarter of the teams. Did have a save tier, but Tottenham aren't keeping clean sheets at the moment. We said that on Monday's pod now. Romero and Van de Ven back, and yet Tottenham have still conceded 2 goals in every league game since. So that's becoming a little concerning. Tony with a shot tier in that fixture. James Maddison actually completed the most passes for Tottenham in that game, 74. From the City-Burnley game, no surprise that there was some big passing numbers at the back. Vardy, 100. Aki, 104. John Stones, 67. Rico Lewis played right back inverted, 63. Rodri Justin, 98. From Liverpool-Chelsea, Alexis McAllister, the only one to hit tier one passing. Van Dijk was on 57. Canati, 53. McAllister also won 8 tackles in that game. Darwin Nunez had 5 shots on target that night and 5 off target, which included hitting the woodwork on 4 occasions. Luis Diaz.
Guy.
he's special, mate. Luis Diaz had a shot here. Most passes in the game, actually, a couple of Chelsea players, Thiago Silva and Enzo Fernandes, just into tier two. and disassigned to Tier 1. Petrovic made 9 saves in that fixture. As I said, Sojic is not Chelsea's biggest problem at the moment. No passing tier in the West Ham Bournemouth game last Thursday. There were tackles for Emerson, Alvarez, Calvin Phillips, Christie and Kelly. Antoine Semenyo, the only one to hit a shot tier. From Wolves Manchester United last week as well. Thrilling game last Thursday night. Lisandro Martinez, 60 passes, the only one to hit it. Semedo, Lamino, Casemiro, all in tackles. Rasmus Højlund shot tier. He didn't hit a shot tier against West Ham, but he obviously is in form. And I wonder if suddenly, say, Manchester United and Sheffield United did land on that Saturday FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, if United went out of the cup, I wonder if suddenly he might look like the best captaincy option on that Saturday. And they play at City. They play on the City the Sunday before. So, going in against City is not ideal, but if you just take it, it's a bonus. It's a
freebie.
Yeah, exactly that.
There is a question around Manchester United on Twitter, so we'll
come back to that,
yeah.
From the weekend, no passing tiers in the Everton-Tottenham game. Not a single Tottenham player hit passing tier. Romero, 54. Van de Ven, 56. The fullbacks were pretty low. Pierre Højbjerg, 44. Bentancur, 31 in 64 minutes. Not great, to be honest. Obviously, shot tier for Richarlison, also for James Maddison. Mikalenko in the tackles, Suj, 4. He's good for tackles. I think if he's one... Because their players aren't going to get passing tiers, unlikely. I mean, if there was a fixture they could, something like Palace is more liable to be it. But probably only if the game stays 0-0 for a really long period would it be of interest to you. Mikalenko's one more, I think. You don't need to worry about it so much. And it could still be a haul because he is good at tackles. Yeah. He has one now and again where you get like 7 or 8. Destiny Udogi got 7 in that fixture at the weekend. Big numbers for Brighton against Palace at the weekend. Shouldn't be surprised. Lewis Dunk, 144 passes completed and obviously a goal as well. Jan-Paul Van Heck got more, 153 passes. Pascal Gross, 117. Billy Gilmore, 105. And Igor Julio playing left-sided centre-back, 86. But he got a tackle tier as well, as did Pascal Gross to go with his 2 assists. It was a shot tier and tackle tier for Buonanotti. João Pedro did at least reward owners with a goal. I think a few probably sold after his injury concern Tuesday night at Luton. From Burnley Fulham, Tosin Adebayo, the only one to hit passing tier. Rodrigo Muniz, who played up front, scored. Obviously, Armando Broyes joined them on loan. We'll put pressure on for the shirt there. Dacho Fofana scored twice for Burnley as a substitute on debut. Don't go looking at that. No passing tier in Newcastle and Luton's 4-4 draw. Want to guess the player, Sujic, completed the most passes in the game?
Oh, Guimarães.
Nope.
Carlton Morris.
Don't be silly.
I don't know.
It is a Luton player, though.
Not Ogbeni.
Ross Barkley.
Okay.
51. Sambi Lokonga, 42, was also more than any Newcastle player in the game. Guimarães, 41. Kieran Trippier, 39. 10, you mate.
No. Basketball game, though.
They're playing some good stuff now, Luton.
Yeah. And Barkley is the centre of it.
Well, yeah, and the Conga as well, in fairness as well. The two of them are very comfortable on the ball in midfield, so you can pass into them, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't get passing tier, but the two players both got tackle tier as well. So they're enabling ones with Luton having the Liverpool fixture, which let's refer to it as a Wednesday/Friday night game that you can have a look at. You might want to look at them as an entry point, obviously, when they play Manchester United next Sunday. So I think probably more of a conversation on Luton next week. But then you're also possibly missing the Sheffield United game this week. I wonder if people suddenly had injury issues. Say people are sitting there with Konsa, for example. If they suddenly think a Luton player might be a solution for them, I don't hate it. Lewis Miley, Dan Byrne, Longstaff with tackles in that game. Longstaff and Harvey Barnes, obviously, in shot tiers. If you've got Anthony Gordon, that sounds like a sell, by the way, but it's currently owned by less than 1% of the top 1,000. In fact, Kieran Trippier at 5% is the most owned Newcastle player in the top 1,000. I'd only really see that changing, I think, if they lost to Blackburn in the Cup. Yep. If you have the Chelsea single game day and then they play Palace, and that's on in an FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, that may change. Sheffield United and Villa, Vinicius Souza, with 7 tackles. Diego Carlos, 108 passes completed. That's with Ezri Konsa's injury for the next month. He's basically got to play. Diego Carlos as right-sided centre-back, because the other two, Longley and even Pau Torres, who we think is going to be in the squad tonight, probably as a substitute, both left-footers, wouldn't be comfortable as right-sided centre-back. So if you did want a Villa defensive player over this forthcoming period, he's going to be a lock to play at centre-back. Longley, 98. Consu obviously went off, was running at near a pass per minute, was running at slightly more pass per minute as well, 62. Tielemans and Watkins in the shots here. No passing tiers in Bournemouth Forest, not a surprise. But I'd note that Dominguez, who's a player I spoke about on Monday, multifunctional player, several different positions, 8 tackles, 1, might be an enabling one should a Forest single game day land later in the season. You'd still probably punt something like Taiwo Awoniyi, though, who did hit a shot tier. Yates also hit shots here to go with tackles. It was a save tier for Neto. If that extra Bournemouth fixture lands, by the way, I think Neto will be it'll be really popular, I think. From Chelsea Wolves.
That'll be after the West Ham Brentford game as well. So Areola, people that are holding Areola for the captaincy but then want to ditch it. Though West Ham then have Everton, Burnley. It's not the worst run, but I do think that'd be an interesting move.
You'd go from the Everton game and then go to the next day, Sunday the 3rd, when Bournemouth play Burnley. So it works.
Gives you that extra fixture,
The thing is, the way that lands as well, if you think of the other keepers in the world, so not too many will be on Raya. By the way, please don't get Raya on Monday the 4th, because remember, he'd be ineligible for the Brentford game on Saturday the 9th. But other than, if you're looking at that, so Raya's not got a huge amount of ownership. The other keepers playing on the Sunday, yes, there'll be bits for Edison. There's not much for Onana. There's obviously not going to be much Trafford by this point. So you got your selection from the rest of the league in terms of moving a goalkeeper to Neto. Imagine the Wolves game did go on as well in FA Cup quarterfinal weekend. Then great there's show. Arguably a case to go something like Neto, probably Senna Sire, and Solanke. You can even punt your likes of Tavernier or something like that. Alex Scott, I think, is maybe one to keep an eye on as well. And of course, over that period as well, for assets from something like Bournemouth, because it's probably going for a bit and fixtures, the pricing is not so important.
No, of course.
Because you might be selling like a Liverpool player to make, you might be moving like Alisson to Neto or Salah to Solanke, these sort of moves to make it happen. So the value becomes way less important. From Chelsea Wolves, there was tackle tiers for 8, Nori and Gomez. Obviously, Matthias Cunha, the headline, shot tiers. He's going to be really popular that day that Wolves play Sheffield United, but so will Huang as well. And I think the choice there might be defined by people and their structure. That's definitely not a skip. You've got to go and gamble one of them for the potential haul in that fixture. Huang obviously took a penalty against Fulham earlier in the season when Cunha was on the pitch. Whether Cunha's now nicked him, don't know. Huang also took one for South Korea in the Asia Cup as well. Obviously, he will be back for the weekend.
They're on their way home.
Probably a substitute. I'm right pissed off about that. I mean, I'm pleased that Sonny's coming back now, but it's like 99th minute against Saudi Arabia, 96th minute against
Australia.
You're
going to go to all that effort to get there. Just
and then you lost.
It's like the FA Cup, right? You'd rather lose.
2-0 to Jordan. They lost. You want to guess the amount of shots on target South Korea had?
0.
Nico, shout it. 0.
I know.
Yeah, great.
Jordan, the West Ham of the...
I think Huang over Neto, by the way. Neto hit a shot too at the weekend. Passing tiers for the same Chelsea players at the weekend. Silva, Disasi, and Fernandes. Fernandes and Chilwell also tackled tier. I saw the team and I knew they was in trouble because of what I speak about so often about protecting Thiago Silva.
What's the timestamp on the...
42 minutes or so.
Okay, Nico, remind me of that at the end. Just remind me of that at the end.
Okay, 42. Chilwell and Gusto together in a back four wasn't going to work. There has been a little bit of speculation Chelsea might move to a back three, but yeah, look, I don't know why you're investing. The only reason you're investing at this stage now on Monday is if you haven't got any. And Cole Palmer has obviously got, I mean, 91.7% ownership in the top 1,000 on Saturday. I can only think it'll grow on Monday, to be honest. So, Conor Gallagher also hit... passing tier and Kunku shot tier. For Manchester United, West Ham at the weekend, Kudos tackle tier, the only thing for West Ham. Garnacho with a shot tier. Bruno Fernandes just got into tier 1 passing with 60. Casemiro just got into tier 2 with passing. Lissandro Martinez may well have hit passing tier, obviously went off with 20 minutes to go and will be a loss to Manchester United. From Arsenal, Liverpool, Declan Rice tackles, Kai Havertz shots, the only Arsenal players to hit tiering.
Oh wow, okay.
Game state a lot to do with that, I think. I mean, Saliba only completed 29 passes.
Wow.
Gabriel, 43. Zinchenko played the first half, only 15.
Wow.
The bigger shock, though, was Trent. 14 in just under an hour.
Wow.
But that's because both teams...
Was there even a game going on?
No, well, there was a game going on, a really interesting one tactically. So essentially, both played with flatter back four. So Trent played like an orthodox right back. And Zinchenko, because of Jorginho's role, very much stayed as a deeper left back for Arsenal as well. Konate and Van Dijk did hit pass in tier and tier two. Konate 75, Van Dijk 87. Obviously, Konate suspended for the game against Burnley at the weekend. Alisson with saves here. And finally, from Manchester City Brentford on Monday night, 12 saves for Mark Flecken, 9 of which in the first half.
Wow. Ben it's not like FPL, though, where they keep racking up. Once you get to tier two,
yeah,
it just stops. So yeah. It's a bit frustrating with that.
Once you've hit the fire, it's no point now. Yeah. No. Me and Reguilon also tackled here. Rodri with a tackle tier for Manchester City to go with 105 passes, 81 for Aki, 75 for Diaz, 72 for Walker, 78 for Phil Foden to go with his 4 shots on target. Kevin De Bruyne also tier 2 passes, 71, also shot tier 1. Julian Alvarez, 5 shots on target. I feel like they were all in the first half. Josko Gvardiol, 59 passes completed.
Ooh,
3 tackles, 1 would be the disappointing one. The problem with City now on the defensive players, and this was my take on it, was you could put a back four out of City players that didn't play there. Mm. So how easy is it to, you know, to throw in Stones and Akanji and Rico Lewis? Like, yeah, it's become a little bit complicated, doesn't it? Haaland, obviously, with the assist, is back. And he'll obviously be very popular for captaincy on Saturday, as he was on Monday.
Agreed. So a few questions that we've had in on the internet, James.
Go.
Steve Jones, this might be old news, but I recently looked at the prizes page and it seems they don't do Manager of the Month prizes anymore.
Where have you been?
But he says, what does Suj plan to do this time around when we get to mid-April and he still has 25 transfers left? I'm making my moves, mate. Don't worry about that.
Have you got your left reminder?
More than you, but only by one.
Brilliant.
I think I'm on 26 as it stands. But I think between now and... the international break, I want to use five or six. I'm going to force some just for fun because I'm catch up,
just
right?
Force
them.
Don't
I'm at 3-9.
Don't use them for the sake of using them. Use them where the gains are clear and obvious.
Yeah,
and
I will use them for gains, but there will be sometimes some situations where it's a little bit more punty than others. So I'll have a bash. I think for Manager of the Month, it's kind of pointless, but I haven't used my second team all season. So maybe March will go for it. It's only 4 weeks in March.
But there's no manager of the month anymore.
It's
you're listening.
Fun though, it's fun, James.
But you're going to go for it anyway.
Fantasy is about playing for fun.
You're going to go for it anyway.
Why the hell not?
Yeah,
particularly because it'll be chaos because of the week where there's the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. So there might be very few fixtures within then. So manoeuvring 20 transfers because 5 a week in that 4 weeks will be a lot of fun. It's what we play for. Apart from the 50,000, of course.
Can't wait to see you buy 5
Johnny
Chelsea
Glenn,
players on Monday the
11th. Will Eze or Elise ever be fit when Palace have a single game day? No.
If they'd have both been available, I'd have gone for one, I think, yeah. They're in trouble.
Chico Franco, doesn't have any Liverpool attacking players for their next amazing 3 fixtures. Would you force one in or leave it and pray?
No, I think I'm going to leave it. I mean, you can force one in, but then take me... Watkins, Haaland, Foden, Rodri, De Bruyne.
Even for the
Palmer.
Single game day against Luton, you're going to just Van Dijk it?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think so. That's the idea at the moment. I mean, look, the obvious one as well is if I get an injury, then that potentially changes the scenario. But to be honest, under that circumstance, I would maybe more... Everton is a priority. Not a priority. That's a really terrible thing to say. But Palmer to an Everton player is the most likely for me now, Monday the 19th. That might be it for me that week. If I get an injury, it's not even a guarantee that I'd go a Liverpool player. I might go another City player. Honestly.
So we've got quite a few questions around City. Somebody missed Haaland. Let me tell you who it is. It was Alex. Forgot to get in Haaland. Would you still do it for no fixture game?
Yep. Well, I mean, it depends what you're selling, admittedly, but yep, probably.
Because you can armband him. And a lot, Jay Holyoke, he says that a lot of us attacked on Monday night, which we did. When do you think the next opportunity to attack is? Well, that Arsenal-Sheffield United game looks tasty, doesn't it? Particularly if the Chelsea game's still happening.
Yeah, there's that. The other thing to factor in with that, though, is you might want one of them games to happen on the Sunday the 17th to alleviate not going into the following weekend after the international break with a shitload of Arsenal players going to Manchester City. But yes, if the Chelsea game is on Saturday the 16th, there's definitely going to be some 3-for-1s knocking about there. And obviously with someone, it's going to involve some captaincy and stuff there. So, I mean, Sheffield United away, Brentford at home and Chelsea at home, would I hate looking at like blanket Arsenal defence over that? You should factor in obviously the Champions League games over that period as well. So they'll play Porto second leg at home on the Tuesday after Brentford. So, but I would think, you know, your Saliba certainly is well safe. Your Saka's going to play majority of the games. There's a case there Monday the 4th to just shove your City, whatever you've got, right into Arsenal. There and then there will potentially be a case of that.
That is kind of Andrew McGill's question, which is when's the right time to move off the City assets we piled into.
But I also think it wouldn't be a pile in the same way. But like I said, if that Bournemouth Luton game does happen, and especially if the Wolves extra game happened as well, like yeah, I could see me going with three or so Bournemouth just because that runs so good, and you start punting things that people won't go for, right? But this last sort of week or so probably opened my eyes a little bit to knowing that at some point you need a little bit of rubber luck.
Always you need a bit. It's a fantasy game.
And
it's a guessing
Foden
game,
was never a certainty for me. Like, for example, if De Bruyne had been fit when I overhauled, like with clarity, I probably wouldn't have gone for Foden. Adebayo was the player that everyone knows. I didn't even want him. Scored again at the weekend. But no regrets that I sold him, by the way.
Last question of the show. Ian Collis, a Man United player worth looking at. Not Rashford or Fernandes, but maybe Garnacho, Onana, or maybe Rasmus Højlund. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's got the Sunday entry point of Luton, but then you got Fulham and Everton at home if you had the Sheffield United game as well. It's a good run.
If you Gross Van Heck dunk. If to start that day are certainties for passing tier in that fixture. So for Højlund, you need the attacking return. Now it's Luton away, like it's fine. Then there's Fulham at home. Decent. The problem with that is, though, I think unless the Sheffield United fixture is going to happen on March the 16th, which would need United to be eliminated from the FA Cup, I can't see where I want to go there. Now, as I said previously, if it does, yeah, sure, maybe it would be a City player. Could even be Højlund, honestly. To Højlund, that's easy to say, isn't it? On Sunday, March the 3rd, skip Højlund away to Liverpool. If they don't play the following week at Brighton and then don't play Arsenal till Sunday the 31st, you can go back without any problems. So then over that period, you've got a Højlund. This is mad. With a potential 5-for-1, including one captaincy, over Højlund. But I want that information first. So the idea of going, say, for the Luton fixture Sunday the 18th when I got the Brighton players sitting there, no, it doesn't particularly appeal to me.
No, agreed. Good. That's it. That's a wrap, listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Planet Sky FF. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back at you next week running through whatever's happened that weekend as well. If you want to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/planetfpl. You get access to James's fixture planning spreadsheet, which for me is essential for Sky planning. I couldn't do it otherwise. Obviously, our Slack community are very engaged. Sky managers are always happy to help each other. Some prize leagues, extra podcasts, and a whole bunch of other good stuff over there as well. patreon.com/planetfpl. You get ad-free podcasts as well. Anything else to add, James?
Yeah, 42 minutes.
42 minutes. I'll remind you about that after we wrap the show. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Good luck. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
So probably about 25, 30 seconds before I said to James,
what's
the timestamp? No, I did not fart. That was five times earlier, mate. Nah. I saw something drop from the ceiling.
Oh, the flyer.
And I thought it was a drop of water. And I was like, oh, why would there
did
be...
Did you have to wipe it?
Why would there be condensation? Like, well, obviously, we've got the gas blower here. I thought it was with condensation. And I looked around. I'm like, where has he gone?
What do you mean, where's he gone? He's gone, hasn't he?
I thought it was a dead fly. No, I didn't see it fly off afterwards.
No, he was just having a little...
Okay. So
Nico left it rolling because he thought this was going to be some good content. It's not.
Now, but catch the fly falling. I thought he flew straight down and fell like it. And when I saw it, I thought it was lying there on the table like a dead fly. I've now moved my iPad and it's gone. It's like a dead body's been moved.
Okay, Nico, but catch the fly.
We need better cameras. Shit. So it wasn't even a dead fly.
Sorry, mate.
I thought it was a dead fly.
Well, maybe it came back to life.
Obviously, first I thought it was...
Sports Social Podcast Network.